Any Monty Python fans? Monty Python fans? No one on this side at all? Monty Python is a comedy group that were very popular in England in the 1960s and 1970s, and many of the people still are comedians, but they don't really do anything together anymore. But the Monty Python group made a few movies. One of them was called Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail. Anyone? You heard of that one? And so King Arthur and his knights are looking for the Holy Grail. And at one point, they come to a cave, and there's a little tiny rabbit in there. Just a cute little rabbit. And so they're like, well, there's just a little rabbit in there. Let's go. And of course, this rabbit in high character-generated imagery comes out, and this is an attack rabbit. And so they go in there. They say, get the rabbit, get the rabbit. And then as soon as the rabbit attacks, King Arthur, after giving the order to go in, says, run away, run away. And it's kind of a funny moment in the movie. But it happens again. They're going to charge the walls of the French castle. And they go up there, and the French start throwing cows and chickens and all kinds of animals at them. And first they say, charge, and they run toward the gates. And then these animals come up, and Arthur, after saying, charge, goes, run away, run away. And so they run away. And it's really, it's a funny part of the movie. I guess maybe you have to be there. But if you've seen the movie, that's really funny, isn't it? If you haven't seen the movie, it's just me saying, run away! It's like his order. The order was charge, the order is go do this, and now the order is run away, run away. And Jesus didn't hear King Arthur's thing. But you know what? When John was arrested, Jesus ran away. He did, because he lived in Nazareth. That's where he made his town. It's his hometown. And John was arrested, and Jesus got out of Dodge. He ran away from Nazareth, which was kind of near where the government authorities were, the enforcers were there. And Jesus was starting to get a little notoriety there, even though he hadn't done much yet, because John was doing stuff. And Jesus was kind of waiting for John to be out of the picture because he didn't want to have the confrontation. And there was the whole baptism thing that had happened, but John was preparing the way. And so then John was arrested. And Jesus was probably a little bit afraid there too, because his cousin, who was saying something very similar to Jesus, got arrested. And Jesus is in this place where the authorities are. So he's like, I got to get out of Dodge. I got to rethink this whole thing. And so we went to Capernaum, a seaport along the shores of Galilee. And it's where the authorities weren't so present. And he could kind of do things more, not on the sly. He could still be public about it, but no one was going to bother him that much. So Jesus got out of Dodge. And I know that now we can look at it and say it was smart for Jesus, very wise for him to go from Nazareth into the countryside and start preaching and build up this following, so that by the time he went to Jerusalem, there were a lot more people that knew about him. And when it was time for him to be crucified, he had built up enough of a problem. If he had built up just a little bit of a problem in Nazareth at the time, they might have just said, oh, it's, you know, another one of those, and, you know, just slapped him a little bit, and maybe stuff didn't go that way. But I do think that Jesus was human, and even though Jesus knew what was going to happen because he's fully human and fully divine, he had to have at one point was like, ugh. Got to rethink this thing. John's arrested. I got to go somewhere. God just knows how to work it all out. And God's able to get things done no matter what, right? God can get things done no matter how good or bad the situation is, how likely or unlikely the situation is, how hopeful or impossible the situation is. Jesus ran away. It seems that we're always either running away from something or running towards something, right? If we're standing still, don't we usually want to move? Yesterday afternoon, I was at a meeting, and it was lunchtime. And we went to Jimmy John's. Cha-ching! There, a little plug for Jimmy John's there. I don't know if you like them or not. But we went there, and I'm sitting down at the table, and I'm eating my little sandwich. And another preacher's there, and he's standing. I said, why? Why is he standing? He goes, I gotta keep moving. I don't like to sit down. I feel like I'm not doing anything. And so he was eating while standing so he could move around. We're always, maybe not for all of us, but it seems like we're either running towards something or running away from something. For instance, Jesus left his hometown, ran from the government enforcers to a place where it was more rural, and there Jesus found something when he got there. What did he find? You were all paying really close attention to this, the Bible reading, right? Not the part with the Isaiah, land of Zebulun and Naphtali, but he was going by the shore and he found who? Fishermen. And these were not ordinary fishermen. That sounded good to say, but no, these were ordinary fishermen. They weren't extraordinary at all. They were just fishermen. Two young brothers casting a net into the sea, and Jesus came up and said, "Follow me." And the brothers dropped their nets and followed Jesus just like that. Really just like that. Why would they drop their nets and follow anyone just like that? They didn't know who this was, really, right? There's a little more to this story, though. Often we say, immediately they left because they knew great things were going to happen. Well, in some way, I think that they knew that great things were going to happen. But these were two young brothers who had gone into the family business. And the family business isn't a bad thing. But all of the young men wished that at the time of their bar mitzvah, at the time where they were 13 and became men, that they would be chosen by a rabbi to be disciples. That instead of entering the family business, they would be schooled. They would go and learn, and they could be a rabbi, because being a rabbi was a very good thing, a very prestigious thing. And only the cream of the crop got picked by the rabbi. The rest mostly went into the family business. And Simon called Peter, and Andrew went into the family business. So you can imagine they're working on their nets going like, you know, it could have been cooler if we'd been chosen by the rabbi. But this isn't so bad. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, who people recognized as a rabbi, he was a teacher. If they called him Rabboni or teacher or rabbi, all the same thing. So this rabbi comes along the shore and says, "Follow me and you'll be catching people." Drop the nets, go. Because the rabbi just called. That's what you would do. It's what anyone would do if the rabbi called. And then a little bit later, same story, James and John, who get to be called the sons of thunder later. They had tempers and everything, but they're mending their nets. They're with their father, and Jesus says, "Come and follow me," and they drop the nets and go. It doesn't say that Zebedee said, "Stop," because he didn't, because they were being called by the rabbi. The family business would survive, but my sons are being called by the rabbi. I like the part, I talked about it in the children's sermon, I like the part where he says, you know, "You're casting nets for fish. Follow me and we'll cast nets." We'll cast nets and catch people. And I know it breaks down a little bit there. We described it in the children's sermon because, well, you know, catching people in nets just doesn't sound all that good. Simon and Andrew wanted to catch the fish to clean them and gut them and eat them and sell them. So it breaks down right there. You'll be catching people and don't go to the clean them and gut them and eat them and sell them part. But it was a quick remark on Jesus' part. We've taken it, and it means a whole lot to us now. But imagine, this is clever and witty. Jesus is like, "I'm going to call them, come and follow me, and you'll be catching people." It's pretty good, yeah. It was pretty smart. And maybe he thought about it later and said, that doesn't quite work all the way. But I think that they got it, because they did follow him. And it's not mentioned later that, and Jesus and the disciples were gathered together, and the disciple says, "You know that whole catching people thing? That doesn't quite work all the way." And Jesus said, "Let me tell you a parable." Shut up, you know. So that part's not in the Bible, but could have happened, something like that. Now you're saying, like, Jesus never said shut up. Well, okay. Did you say that? And all the kids are going to be like, "I can say shut up because of the pastor." I just said it three times. Oh, it's awful. So why did these four follow Jesus just like that? It's because they were waiting for him. That's it. They were waiting for something. They were waiting for Jesus. They were waiting for the rabbi to come and say, "Follow me." They may have lost hope at that moment that they were going to be one of the ones who were chosen. But Jesus does that. Jesus goes to the people who have lost hope and says, "Follow me." Jesus goes to the one who have been cast out in some way and says, "Follow me." Jesus goes to the people who are poor and says, "Follow me." He calls the rejected, the lost, the exploited, the powerless. Jesus calls the ones no one expects to be called. That's very cool. Now, Jesus also calls the ones who expect to be called. Maybe not in a power way, but see, Jesus can call anyone. He can call rich or poor, right? And he did in the Bible and still does. He can call powerful or powerless. He did and he does. Democrat or Republican. Yes, for sure. He can call Democrat or Republican. Gay or straight. He can call people with different skin color. Doesn't matter what you've done with your life. Doesn't even matter what you're doing with your life. Jesus can call you. Jesus calls you and says, "Follow me." And the best time to respond to the call when Jesus says that, when is it? Now. Yes, now. Or the title of the sermon? Immediately. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for calling us, no matter who we are, where we are on life's journey. Help us to respond now, immediately. Amen.